The other night when I had the vision that Brother Terrell was gone off, couldn't preach to his people, his tent, had no one on the platform to preach to his people, and his people got up and left. And they were wanting me to come on the platform, which could have to do with you people going out there trying to reach his people and helping them. Whereas in this, Brother Morris Allen, I understand, had a dream the other night, and in the dream, Brother Morris, according to the report I got, and this may not be right, Brother Allen would have to tell you, said that in the vision he was David Terrell, and said he was weeping and crying. Whereas I'm sure that Brother Terrell's tore all to pieces. I've been praying for him with a regularity, and I hope you have too. Just like they put the early leaders in the prison, so had they put Brother Terrell there and other leaders. So then he said that he was crying, weeping, and he woke up weeping. And in the vision, it was being said that, Brother Pike, I give you my ministry. I give you my ministry. Which goes back to the breach over, goes back to what we said about Brother Terrell taking this and us redeeming it in the end, and what it had to do with in the coming of the Lord. Brother Morris from Marysville, back to Mary and the birth of the child, back to the travail. Brother Terrell holding to the women, the feminine part. So out of that comes the voice that says, go to the long dresses. Turn to the coming message. Turn to this that God is using, Brother Branham. In the third pool, he saw the ladies in the long dresses. Someone would say, well, I don't think it's necessary, Brother Pike. I think a many is good enough. I think a many is good enough. It's okay. Many, first dimension. That means that you're out there in the natural world. You'll perish with the world. You'll be turned into hell. Midi, it means that you've come to the religious place, to where you are not considered the ungodly, as one would say, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, one first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, receiving a full reward, Paul said. Let us go on to perfection. It means that you've got caught in between and you're going to have a satanic battle. You're going to be double-minded, and it's going to be a problem all the time because you're half in and half out. Because when I saw the vision where I had the rod in my hand and spoke of the third pool of the long dresses, it had to do with the full revelation as the full covering of Christ, even the mind of Christ, the Shekinah glory, being the full covering as to the bride. Not the church. You can wear your minis. You can stay out there in that rim if you want to. But what it represents, and putting on a long dress don't mean you've come into this rim. But I'm speaking of the types of it, what it represents. Brother Brown saw the women in the long dresses in the third pool. When he got caught up into the third pool, this is what he saw. Now, his wife was named Midi. You can stay in the Midi rim, but that's Lucifer's rim. You can stay in the Midi rim because that's the crossing over rim, the second heaven. Some stars will remain, some will be cast out. That's the church rim. It's all mixed up. That's where the spots and blemishes is in your feast of charity. That's where Lucifer came into the presence of God, wanted to persecute Job. But in the third rim, that's the third heaven. Paul preached that. See, Paul was caught up into the third heaven, the capstone, the foundation, the walls, and then the man-child, the capstone. This is the body of Jesus, for his bride is one with him. That's the man-child. See, that is the woman and the man being one, Eve taken out of Adam. And Adam pursuing the woman, which means the body taken from the spirit and the spirit pursuing the body. Pursuing the woman to Calvary. And there, in that the seed of conception was there as to the birth of the man-child, at Calvary the travail came. And the child broke forth, as I said, from the womb of Mother Earth, went up to the throne, and there it indicated that Israel went into the wilderness wandering until the church age end. Whereas Brother Davis, right at this present day, going down into Alabama, had to do with those church ages. About 6 or 7, 8 men went off down there with him. Even Dave Hauser went down there with him. The house of David or Davis, Baptist, the law and the prophets. Mr. Davis went to town to have things registered. Went over to Mr. Marcus's place. And though it was signed, sealed, notarized, throwed it back at him. And I know, of course, Mr. Davis, sometimes he comes on strong when he approaches you. And Marcus is a feller that you don't do that much with. He throwed the paper back at him, said it ain't worth the paper's wrote on. Got to get a lawyer. Whereas I know that's not true. But see, God was doing that. Brother Taylor had drawn those papers up, whereas they were excellent. But Brother Taylor going back to Moses, the folding up, the laying away, the Baptists on the other side of Calvary, and that the church ages come in, and the church of being filled with the Spirit of God of the Holy Ghost on this side, it puts Dr. Davis, as we say, the doctors on the other side, that when Jesus come, that the doctors, what they had said would not be received. Ready to fold it up, laid away, and this thing was folded up. So then he went down to Mr. Marcus, and Mr. Marcus is as contrary as he can be. And he calls his place the Devil's Den. So when Dr. Davis went down to the Devil's Den, he didn't get past him. You know, you don't get past Calvary without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I believe Dr. Davis is a fine man. Very shrewd, but I believe he's a very fine man, feeding the poor. But I'm just saying, being typical as to the other side of Calvary, the body cannot come out of the grave except by resurrection of the spirit through the promised seed of Abraham, that is to say Isaac, the promised son, which has to do with this side of Calvary that we're on right now, that is to say Christ, the resurrection. The others rested in their grave until then. So then, rejected in this area, he wanted to live in this area. He wanted to stay in this area. This has to do with the throne. But instead, having to do with Moses, he has been in the wilderness, feeding the people, the wilderness wandering, Belize, South America. He goes back to that place where Brother Cobbs and them went. A number of years ago, I told my wife this, when Brother Cobbs and Sister Joyce's father, they bought a place down in Macon, Georgia. And they were very enthused over the place, and I didn't do anything to try to kill out the enthusiasm because it was a move of God. In talking to them, I knew that they wouldn't understand. I later explained it to Brother Cobbs. And Brother Cobbs said, Brother Pike said, it's worked out exactly that way. But I told the person that was in the car with me, or the persons that was in the car with me, I believe Brother Floyd Orange might have been involved in this, I'm not sure. But anyway, I said, they don't realize it. The dad was a Church of God man, very fine man. Mother's a very fine woman. She's due to come up here tomorrow, I believe. Well, she talked to Brother Davis today, she might not come tomorrow. But anyway, they went into this place, bought this parcel of ground. You're familiar with it. I went down there and preached. I said it has to do with Moses going into the wilderness. So they did. They went into it. And as Moses departed in the wilderness, could not get over the Jordan, that is to come into this concerning the Jesus name move. So it was that the elders, the leader, died out. And then the son-in-law, because Jesus came by means, as to say, the son in the law, because he was numbered with the Jews, came up, and as it was with Moses and Joshua, so Brother Clyde came over the Jordan. He got over the intellectual concept of religion, come into Jesus' name. The daughter came with him as to the carrying over, having that of the children in the wilderness, bringing them into Canaan, which was up here, and we could go into things that would take us all night long concerning Brother Don Porter, the things that he's doing and the things he will do, and you'll find out there's good character in him, like I said from the beginning. And what it has to do with Brother Morris and the snow that come not too long ago and the changeover and so many multiplied things that we won't try to go into. We spoke to the brethren about these. One knows something, and another knows something, and another knows something, till they all have it in part. Can fit it together among them. Hundreds and thousands of things that we spoke to them. Some things we never spoke to them. So, the brother will go down into that area. He wanted to be here. Seeing Canaan, everything worked for him not to come into it. But into that area, he goes in the sense of the transaction. But having to do with the carrying over at this point is the coming out of the wilderness, whereas he's scheduled for an operation in Houston where the stones are, the crossing of the Jordan, that is the stones that come back from the moon, having to do with the crossing over. About $200,000, and they don't believe he'll survive the operation. But his colleague or his board of directors, they're going to set up a children's home there, taking refugees or whatever, which will be again the children going over the Jordan. The symbol of that was that all that he took, the school buses, whatever, it went over the Jordan. It had to do with the Jordan. As we narrowed things down, as I told the brethren the other day, we're going to bring it down to, they called it a one man's rule. Everything narrowing down from all of the headships and the leaders to where they'll be forced to work through one leadership. Going back to the man child, the rod of iron rule. Coming down to that, meaning that we are getting rid of different things like the motorhome, some of the buses, the different things. Betty and I got rid of our motorhome after 7 years. Narrowing it down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right on down. Not losing a dime of our wealth. Incorporating it into a greater thing and gaining as we go and taking on more assets. But narrowing it down to a place to where we can handle it. And we don't have to depend on somebody. You know, when the batteries are gone, the tires are bad, and the body's rusting out, and whatever, the redemption of the body. Bringing that out of the shadows, glorifying that we can by the new paint jobs and the typical thing. Doing away with the rubbish, throwing it into the deep pit down here, into the deep ditch. And taking that can be used, putting it out into the field of activity for Christ. So then it shows Moses and shows that that's going out. And as it was with the plane the other night while we was up at the place called Winder, while we was there, Brother David Paul, Brother Davis, both of them in the plane. Being in the plane, Brother Davis was the mind of the operation. Whereas David is my son, which has to do with my mind. And here they were in the cockpit. The man was in control on that side of Calvary. Was there something between them in the cockpit? So he was the one that owned the plane, cranked the plane. He was the president of his operation. And then when he left, it fully fell into my control because we bought the plane. And I'm the president of this corporation. So it had to do with the old going out and the new coming in. And instead of the Moses part over here and his pilot, it was my seat over here as the owner of the plane and my son. David Paul having to do with the child caught up to the throne. At this time, it's full speed ahead. We've said these things to you in part, trying to tie them together as much as we can. People are restless. They're hot. They're uncomfortable. They could care less. You know, they'd rather you wouldn't say nothing about it, some of them. But I press on when I would just quit and not say anything because of their kind of interference. But I press on to get to the man-child. There are members of the man-child. Few, but there are members of the man-child. Not to press over the carnal mind of unconcern. So then, At this time, having to do with the birth of the man-child, which means the membership of little Bethlehem has been born. Being caught up to the throne means into the revelation immediately. Like these seven candlesticks, what's the thing that this place represents? Monroe, seven governors, seven candlesticks controlling God's work, the governors. The different things that we speak of, that is to say, David Paul taking the cockpit. Everything being replaced, and Brother Clyde and I went off for a while. They cranked the engines. They cut them off. When we came back, they had shut down everything and was leaving, already come past the archway, was going around the building, would have crossed the railroad, but we stopped them. Which means before they got to the crossing, all the way back to Calvary, before they got to the crossing. See, the railroad has to do with Calvary, and the train has to do with the big serpent. And everything shakes in the earth when it rolls. Death at the crossing. Before they got there, we caught them. We went back around. Now, I know many of you ain't going to understand a word I'm saying. Some of you will. Jesus said, he that can hear, let him hear if he hath an ear to hear. So then we caught him. We went back. While we were standing there, Brother Davis ripped his shirt open all the way, nothing underneath, which had to do with Calvary, the rent veil, moving around toward the crossing. At the same time, the law came up and he buttoned his shirt up. See, but the thing is, ripping down the shirt has a meaning. The Lord said, rend your heart and not your garment. When he rent the shirt, it had a meaning. Because underneath the shirt, he is also rent from the knife of the operations that he's had. And he is going for an operation, which fits back into the stones of crossing Calvary. Many things that we could say concerning that. But all of a sudden, the law comes up as the confirmation of Calvary. There was three lawmen, the Trinity. There was one in the front, a short, small policeman, another one that was an aged, white-haired, back to the Ancient of Days, and in the back, there was one that had his arm off that had a hook. Three of them. They said, we thought we had found something. They thought we were breaking in. But Brother Davis introduced us, told them that we owned the plane. So then Calvary, the changeover, the redemption of the body, the little commander, the battery being taken out of it to crank the bigger plane. And my, we could go on and go on because the plane has to do with Brother Branham, the year. It has to do with the thing of the angel returning to Israel. It has to do with so many multiplied things as to outside and body redemption. Until it would take us a long time to go into it. But see, here it was. There was a gray-haired man. Father. There was a short, little person. Though he was a man. More like a man-child, the son. And then there was that was in the back. This man had a hook on his arm. Now, we say that there was the Spirit and the Son. And then the last one that got out was the man with the hook. Now, it takes God the Spirit and it takes the Son and the separation of them to cast out Lucifer. The coming of the dark, the rending of the veil, those things that we spoke of, and at the same time the man-child being caught up, because Calvary, the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation as to the opening of the sixth seal, and the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation as to the dragon being cast out. I know a lot of you people run around with your shirt tails out, that is the men. He had, as they call, the end of the shirt out. Like the tail on a dog, you know, referred to as the shirt tail. When you take your flight and you get your flight understanding and you're able to fly, they clip off your shirt tail. Now see, that is the man-child being caught up and the dragon being caught, cast out. To run around with your shirt tail out, this generation does it. It has to do with Lucifer. That's what it has to do with. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, where it come from is beer bellies. The old serpent on his belly. They got such belly on them till they couldn't keep their short shirt tails in, so they started wearing them outside. I know that for a fact. So the boys adapted it. Just like a lot of your beard come from dope addicts trying to hide. And the boys got mixed up in it. It was criminals, killers, trying to hide behind the beard. But anyway, all that was to come to show the beast coming in. It has to do with the beast. The shirt tail relates to China or Chinese, the different things that were out. The red dragon, back to communist China, those kind of things, the old dragon country. But anyway, so much for that. I'm just trying to point out something here as to what I watch, what I see, what the Spirit says to me, and I'm sure that to others that look and watch, he that seeks. And I watch the move of God, and I listen to these things, and a lot of times maybe numbers of people may leave or go somewhere or do something, leave an area. They don't see nothing because they're carnal-minded. But those that are in the Spirit, they're led by the Spirit of God. And as it was in the prophetical utterance of the prophets, the mind of God, the Holy Ghost, showing them things that are to come, even in the Old Testament, by the revelated mind of the visions of Christ. See, the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So then, looking ahead, seeing these things, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desire of the flesh. I watched it the other night. See, people get things misconstrued, and they say Moses is going out and Joshua is going on into Canaan. Yea and nay, depending on your understanding. Moses is not going out. As a matter of fact, Moses is just now coming in. Moses and Elijah, I'll send both of them. You know, at that end time, said, I'll send you Elijah. But the book of Revelation points out it has to do with Moses and Elijah. And in the same place where he said, I send you Elijah, you'll find out he said, remember my man Moses. They're numbered together in that coming. The two olive trees, which is Moses and Elijah. So then you hear people say that, and they speak of David and Saul, and they say, Saul is going out. But see, that's not right either. Saul was changed to Paul. That's where the revelation come from. He was the one that started the kingdom. It's a 1, 2, 3. You have to understand what God's doing. And besides that, the resurrection is coming. Saul will be there. The wicked will be resurrected too. But see, this that I'm speaking of has to do with a father and a son. A father and a son. That's why that the move of God here has to do with my family. It has to do with my wife. It has to do with David Paul, my son. It has to do all things to the pleasure of the Father. And the Son will rule through the millennium until He has put all things under His feet, and then the Father will take over. And the Father shall be all in all. Then, because the celestial is what it's all about. The Son can rule in the realms of monetary value and natural things. The enthusiasm of drawing you to build the ark. But beyond that, it is the spiritual understanding and the revelation of the eternal Spirit itself. And it must transformate into that as to the ultimatum of God. People, they're cunning. And they work father against son, and they work pastor against deacon. And they'll say, you know, the son is my leader. I don't have to listen to you when the father says something, you know. And they'll say, I don't have to listen to you, kid. You're just a son. The father's my pastor. You know, and just a bunch of devils or babes that get mixed up. Always looking for a way to get around leadership. But you'll find out that he that has known the Father has known the Son. He that has known the Son has known the Father. And the Son will do nothing without the Father. For his faith and strength is by the Father. And you'll find out in the end, it'll all come out right. And all your intellectual reasoning of wilderness wandering of what you supposed to be a revelation will turn into a nightmare and prove to be a trap for you. while everything goes on for Christ. Now, I said these few things to say that Brother Terrell being in prison has to do with John and the world being cut off. That's the old soul part of it, the world, and their intellectual brilliance of education as to the head. And all the world wonders after that part, which is the beast. That's the soul part of it. That's the rejected part of it. That's the smitten part of it. And we could elaborate much concerning male and female. We did that to the brethren the other day, talking to them about the different things as to what happened. Some of the brethren, that is. So you can see by this that great things is happening. That's why I say Christian ambassadors full speed ahead. Whatever we're going to do, we're ready to do it as a body. Now, I'm speaking of you now. And you that have been a problem and a hindrance, you are Lucifer. You're the body of Lucifer. And it's time for the supper. And when Jesus gave them the supper, that is to say to Judas, though he had been protected by the blood and been with them all the time, his mind had been on monetary values, saving the things that be of the world. He was given the sop and he went out like that. Numbers of the people are going to want to help us. Going to want to help us. But I don't need them. I needed them at the beginning. But they wouldn't help me. I don't need them now. Christ is sufficient for the need. Even though I'll be merciful if you want to come in, I won't reject you if you really, truthfully, sincerely come in. I'll help you and work with you, give you a chance. But so far as the cross and the crisis, my cross, see, the Lord took care of that. We come over the brook Jabbok, as we say, and we went out. So the brethren that travailed with me, they're the ones that stood by me. Whoever the brothers and sisters was that really got in here with me to found this thing, to frontier this thing, to be ridiculed, to be mocked, they're the ones. The others can do whatever they want to, and they'll get in on the glorious side of it, not having to suffer the shame. But the commemoration is to the frontiersmen that settled, as we say, the frontier, to make way for the people to come and build their forts of protection and to raise their families. But the great courageous ones are represented all together, represented all together by those that were right on the front line. That is, the courageous spiritual leaders are represented in type by people like Buffalo Bill, Kit Carson, or anywhere in the world that there was a great man that rose up for frontier settlement. So at this point, we're going to do all we can, just like we always have. And all that will walk with us, you will understand as you go on as to whether you're Lucifer, the body of Lucifer. You'll come into the knowledge of your condemnation as to judgment. The whole world will do it now. They can't get around it. Because it's the coming of the understanding, the unveiled understanding, that makes you the devil or makes you the saint, the son of God. And it's according to God's foreknowledge as to your predestination, as to what you were. Jesus said, I chose 12. One of you is a devil. And it will be revealed as to this great light, as to his destruction and destroying the image of the bastard child. And with this, that's why so many people are committing suicide. They're coming to what they really are. Like a boy wrote, 20-something years old, said, I'm no good to nobody, no good to my family, no good, no good, no good, no good, he said. And the devil, he went out like that. See, it's going to be revealed to you, and you're going to be so depressed. You're not even going to have enough courage to even work on your job. The world won't have any zeal, like a man told me the other day. He said, I'm burnt out on the world. He said, I'm burnt out on it. See, because it is being revealed to him who he is, what he is, what the world is. He said in so many words, he said it's lying vanities. He used the term, said it's all superficial. See, so it's going to be revealed. And that's why I tell you to lay up your treasures in heaven. Listen to the preacher. Well, I have to listen to the preacher. It's okay. No worry, no problem. listen to whoever you want to. So, well, I understand. Go your own way. Listen to self. Do whatever you want to. You know, you plan your program. I won't bother you. But I'm just saying, my sheep know my voice. You listen to me. You follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Lay hold on eternal life. Flee the other things. Just do what I ask you to do. And everything will be all right. Be a little flop, but it'll work out for you. So we're at the point. I took this little time tonight to discuss with you a few things. I need to discuss more. I'm going to try to find a place to close here. I need you to get together. One mind, one accord. The Pentecost church. I need you to get together. I need to correlate. The little ambassador program that we got, calls for many people. People filled with activity. People that plans projects for God. People that does things instead of planning. As you've had a will, have a performance. The little college has gone 3 months. And it's done real well. From little seeds, big trees grow. Great, mighty operations in the world started with the little trees, little seeds. And even in Antichrist, the Bible said he'll come up with a little people. Our school's about 16 years old. God's blessed it. We've kept it in a minimized form to the extent I didn't want too many to get into it, because we had people out of state and everywhere willing to pay big tuitions if I just let their children in. But we kept it specifically for the purpose of Christ. And this 3 months has proved to be successful. Don't make inquiry as to what I'm about to say. Just receive it like I said. All of the students that John showed me made good grades, real good grades, except two people. These two people are in the same family. They didn't make very good grades. And John and I discussed it so as not to hurt them, to let them know. We had rather that in the next 3 months that they have a chance once again to pull their grades up. And we're going towards certificates. They're working on the certificates now as to a quarterly thing and a real thing at the end of a 3-year endeavor. These things, along with our foundational meetings, I feel is going to prove greatly successful. We're going to take the store part down in the building, the parliamentary building. We're going to do what needs to be done down there. Brother Hollis has already graded out a ditch 10 feet deep to give us the proper drain. He's got part of it already done. The proper drain to where we can use the little cafe. Keep everything neat and tidy. And we're going to move out the chef work down there in that you don't desire to use it for a store. I told him we would eventually do this. Move out the chef work and put a great, big, huge, long table down there as a place of fellowship to hold our divisional meetings. And that way we can have milkshake, popcorn, Coca-Cola. We can have suppers. We can have anything that we want down there at our men's meeting or at the divisional meetings. And 85 people as to world evangelism. A little cafe will work real well. And of course, it'll be to where we can use it for meetings here or camp meeting or anything else. The people that are active as the Christian ambassadors will be part of this. And the ones that are not willing to endure, that's not willing to be concerned, that's not willing to, even as tonight, to sit here long enough to endure the heat a little bit, to learn or to try to listen, they'll be disfellowshipped. Not in the sense that they can't come to church, not in the sense that they can't be part of the Christian body if they want to come, but in the sense that they can't be these great leaders that I feel like God's going to bring up. Here, this thing runs like this. It's always a double potion. A double potion. So we are eliminating that which is negligence. You know, you've got to observe the negative. They used to have a little saying concerning the negative and the positive. to eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Eliminate the negative. And don't mess with the in-between. So you've got to know the negative, thoroughly know the negative, or you can't eliminate or eradicate the negative. That's why I think God allows some great leaders to get mixed up in so many things in the world. They are fully aware of the negative, so they know the approaches of Lucifer. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And then when God converts them over to the affirmative, they know just exactly what to do with the negative. So then we observe the negative to the extent that we know that we've got the negative among us. We know that we've got people that are negative. That is, we've got the in-between here. And the idea is to get rid of all of that. Even in our warehouses, they're going through those things to eliminate everything that can't be used, to categorize everything that can be used, and to give away everything that others can use. So that our warehouses won't be crowded with foolishness. God's going to do the same thing in the natural, the same thing in the physical, the same thing in the spiritual. They that are hungry for the world and fame and popularity, let them go their way. Those that are hungry for the spiritual things, as I explained in more detail to my wife today, then their minds and spirits will be in a different way. If you are a creature of the heavenly world, your treasures will be there. You'll be working toward that. Your conversation will be there. You'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And you'll only use the natural things. If your treasures are in the earth, then you are a creature of the earth. You'll love the earth because Satan savors the things that be of the earth. He is the prince of this world. And your desire and interest will be in earthly conversation and earthly things. So then concerning what we said about the negative, we're getting rid of that. This thing is in a double portion. There's a big boat and a little boat. There's a big plane and a little plane. There's a big bus and a little bus. Whereas the other objects, we're moving them away. And if it narrows down to the one, well, that's what we'll do. But anyway, this is the way it's running. The little bus, the little plane, the little boat represents our people at Bethlehem. The little flock. God's raising up into a headship. Developing these people. Making them what they are. We're working on them. Some, the songwriter said, don't judge me yet. I'm an unfinished product. God's still working on me. But we've about got that finished. The superstructure's finished on the boat. Which means that, symbolically speaking, as well as actuality, we're here, we're ready to move. Straight ahead. Straight forward. The bigger boats, planes, has to do with the Baptist, the Methodist, them that are outside. Those that are coming in. The redemption of the body. All of that's ready now. So I said all of that to come to a final analysis of things here. And that is, not everyone that's at Bethlehem is of Bethlehem. For the Bible said those that he brought out of Egypt, not all were of Israel. He said, but in Isaac, that is of the faith, the promised son, shall the seed be called. So here, all that is with us is not of us. That was proven in the days of Gideon when so many left. But we do have a few that are of us and that are sons of God, daughters of the Lord, and they are the ones that are in travail to bring forth Christ. Paul said, I travail to Christ be formed within you. These are they that are bringing forth Christ and this wonderful message of the unveiled Christ, the born child, to all of the world. All right, we could say many other things, but I know that you, numbers of you, wanted me to shut up right after I got started. And yet you didn't want me to shut up in that you wanted to hear and find out what it was all about. But being naturally minded, it makes you so weary you'd rather eat, drink, blow the horn, visit relatives, go shopping, listen to the vain jinglings at the penny store. But some of you, though tired and weary, some of you, though bruised and torn and hurt, still pressing over your feelings, trying to be honest and sincere, keeping every thought out that would even be distorting, has tried to listen, wanted to listen, are interested in knowing, because Calvary cannot stop the Christ. Calvary cannot stop the true sons of God. The dark age didn't stop them. Nothing can stop them. They've one goal. That's His pleasure, His will, to be about the Father's business. They could care less about fame, popularity, money, whatever. They have one goal. Their mind is in heaven because they are ambassadors for Christ, and they are from another country. I want you to stand with me and think these things over. If you'd like to be part of the ambassadors for Christ, then you're going to have to turn your name in to Sister Linda, Brother Taylor, and let us know right away. And with turning in your name, then or immediately after, turn in a written project for the ambassadors for Christ. So, tomorrow, we're going to try to get back to the commander. We've took all time off just to take care of Dr. Davis. And we're going to get back to the commander tomorrow, if the Lord's will. We may even use this to fly to Olive Branch. Instead of, don't have my motorhome anymore. Dr. Davis, he has a real nice motorhome. As a matter of fact, he has one like Dale and him. It's a Buffalo. I saw a picture of it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a real late model. I didn't know that he had, I thought he had one airplane. He's got three, or he had three airplanes. But is there a big operation? But he just fell in love with this place here. And his wife did too. And they wanted Betty and I to come and visit with him. He wanted me to go down with him today. He loves you folks. He's found real sincerity. Maybe I'll mention something to men's meeting concerning something that he told me. I won't mention you. Tomorrow, as far as I know, Brother Jim and myself, David, I don't know who else, we'll be up there working on the plane, and they're fixing to get started on the big plane. We've already worked out the color scheme, and Brother Morris is going to start immediately. Him and Philip are going to start immediately on the inside. We're going to try to make this something that will be thorough, put some dates on it, time limits, where it won't be long and drawn out. But like I said, I might fly that plane over to Olive Branch for the meeting. Betty, she don't like that. But we might travel that way anyway. I want you to pray that God will bless us and help us. Sister Betty was on the phone the other day talking to Mississippi and maybe Louisiana and I don't know, maybe Nevada. She was supposed to contact three or four and even as far as California in meetings and crusades and whatever. As to whatever we're going to do, the Lord knows. But I want you to pray with us that everything will be fully active. And pray that God will save and God will heal. You know, you may not know it, but there might be cancer working on you right now. There might be heart trouble. There might be any kind of a disease. Mental stress may be pointing toward insanity. You don't know, see, folks. You don't really know. Young men and women are finding out that they've got cancer, that they've got bad diseases. They're finding this out. Young men's hearts are failing them. Things are happening. The stress and strain is too great. See, so you don't ever know. Some of you are sick. I've been praying with you. Some of you have been to the hospital. I go through things that would be a hideous nightmare to some of you. But by faith, we continue on. Many are the afflictions, even of the righteous. Just because you get sick, that don't mean that you're a devil. The Bible said you can be righteous, but you're warring with the devil, and he's going to do everything he can to kill you. In battle, you may get wounded. Maybe one of the fortunate ones and not get wounded. But your nerves could collapse on you after you come home from battle. Some men have gone all to pieces. I think that horrible plane crash, they had 500 killed in it, four survived. found a little girl or a little child up in a tree, I believe, that survived. Some of you are sick. Brother Jimmy's been going through a great stress, great problem. We've been praying with him and asking the Lord to heal him. We want to strengthen the faith of the believers. Sometimes you come to me and I pray with you. A little boy came to me yesterday, was it, Betty? Or this morning. His foot was hurt. And it was right amusing because I went out and prayed for him. I prayed for his little foot. And when I prayed for it, I felt God. I felt faith. Felt the little one's faith. And I started turning around, walk off. He said, wait a minute. He said, you didn't pray for my throat. You know, in other words, just enough to say that took care of the foot, no more problem, now throat. Now that's real faith, isn't it? And I could feel God when I was praying for him. See, he concentrated on God healing his foot. So when I prayed for his throat, he was all right. But I don't tell you that you're healed. I tell you that you can be healed. I tell you that according to your faith, Jesus said. I tell you that I preach the gospel, and if you'll believe, then God will heal you. And when you make a special effort to try to believe, I say, I'll believe with you. And I'll stand with you, and I'll pray for you. And I do, even at night when you're asleep. And I use my faith to believe with you. See, because only God can heal. And that's through your faith. And you got to believe, but I'll believe with you. See, I'll believe with you. And I want you to believe with me. If those that are sick, we'll believe with you. We've had numbers of people healed. Could write a great book. Maybe you don't believe that, but so help me God. Amen. We could write a great book on healing and miracles. Physical healing and miracles. Mental healings and miracles. We got a brother here that was completely delivered from a mental condition. When even the psychiatrist couldn't help him. Great, intelligent person. Monetary values, miracles. God has been tremendously outstanding in our lives in the sense of providing provisions. You don't have a lot of wealth to the extent that you have a liability. You have a lot of wealth to the extent that you have an asset. Hardly anything, comparatively speaking, that you owe against your assets. And if you help me, we're trying to be as wise as we can to keep it from Satan so that you can enjoy naturally the blessing of the Lord, physically the blessing of the Lord, spiritually the blessing of the Lord. But I need your assistance. I need your help. I need your leadership. I need you to work with me. And if you do this, folks, then we'll have a good time in the Lord. I just love to work for Jesus. I love to pray at night. I love to fast. Kind of rough on the stomach, you know. But I love to fast. I love to preach. I love to testify. I love to pass out tracts. I love to deal with the foundational settings and operations that we got. You know, I just don't have any time for somebody that will take my foundations. Jesus said, foundations that I've laid, another man can't lay no more. The foundations of the Bible. I don't have much respect for a man that'll play around with me and not take God's work serious and use these foundations and these things as a sideline while he has a gullible desire for prestige and a business and to make money. Yeah, I'd rather he'd go to his business and leave God's business to God's sons. Because God's sons will go to God's business and leave that business to the world. And if they've got anything out there in the world, they'll do that as a sideline. And their major love and desire will be toward God's business. And see, they need to leave God's business alone and not just scramble it up. Not just mess it up. Isn't that right? So then, let's be about our Father's business. If you are a son of God, let's be about our Father's business. This is what we've got to do. To be about our Father's business. I try to be as merciful as I can to you so not to hurt you. Things bother me. They disturb me. But I say, Lord, I don't want to hurt nobody. But there's times when I have to. You know, chastisement is grievous sometimes. But you bear with me. A wise man, you can reprove a wise man, he'll love you. All right, let's sing this chorus together and we'll let you go. All of these things we talk about is a rule that go on tape. I guess they recorded that, don't they, Chuck? Which means later in the men's meeting you can go back for reference, or you can play these things, or if we put them on video, you can sit in your own home and watch them. Wonderful. Do anything, everything. God's given us everything. You say, do you really believe God's given us everything? He's given us everything at Bethlehem. You say, well, what is your terms of everything? What is your definition of everything? Jesus, he's everything. I've got Jesus. That means I got everything. And if you haven't got Jesus, I don't care what you've got. You don't have nothing. Brother Taylor is such a wonderful person. He's worked. He's tried to do everything he could, from play the organ to I don't know what. That don't suffice for the person that's got the calling. Brother Taylor said, Brother Pike, all I want to do is just stay in my calling and what I'm supposed to do. So I ain't worried about the rest of it, about knowing about it or whatever. But you know, I thought about Dale's companion. He made the statement. You know, he hasn't had any interest for the things of the world. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I'm still relating to the world, Brother Pike. Still had the world on his mind. So that's been my concern. But he's so tore up now till he told me he wanted to leave it. Said he just didn't want to be out there. And he is so turned around till he said, I went to Chuck and told Chuck, I want you to learn me everything. Said, I want to know the video. I want to know the printing. I want to know everything. And a few months ago, he didn't want to know nothing except to make money. And he made a lot of money. But he said, I want to know everything. See, that means the prodigal is coming in. It means that you that are gullibly interested in that thing out there and half-heartedly doing your job or carrying on your office, you're going to find out that you're a bastard child and that you're mocking the free child and you don't have a heavenly father and your interest is in the world. And the dictionary says to lightly esteem is to mock. You're mocking God, mocking the brotherhood, by lightly esteeming your office and the things of your ordination. And it's going to be bad for you. We'll catch up with you. You need to run for your life. You need to do something for God, folks. Men and women alike. We sent an extra 38 boxes of clothing with Brother Davis down in Belize to reach the needy. I don't know how many we sent in all. Where's Gerald? Isn't he here? 95. How many?
95.
We sent of the wax boxes. We sent 95 wax boxes. And I believe that just about all of them was full of new clothes. Excellent clothes and numbers of new clothes. As a matter of fact, a man came over the other day and we got a whole bunch of clothes. We bought them from him out of a trailer, new clothes. We sent a whole bunch of those. So the people,
sir,
sent 10 boxes overseas. So the people in Belize, they're going to be shouting the victory.
Hallelujah.
Almost 100 boxes packed tight of good clothing. They're going to have themselves a time. And I'm so happy because pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep yourself unspotted from the world. God will make our cup to run over if we continue to do this. So whatever, let us continue to do the will of our Father. If that nature's in you, you'll be about your Father's will. Program. I want you to raise your hands. Don't forget. Want to be a part of our Christian ambassador outreach, then we offer you opportunity to do it. You know, somebody told me today, we hear about these big operations and what they're doing for the mission field, but somebody told me today that the man that was rated number 2, I read it myself, President number 1, he was number 2. Powerful, great, and mighty. This man said, I went face to face with him and told him, said, you publish 9 statements, 7 of them was a lie. And the man said, how do you know? He said, I was in the field of the country that you spoke of. And he named them to him. And he said 7 of them was a lie. So the man was so stirred up. Until he said, I'll give you $10,000 to aid your cause. The missionary said, that's fine. But he said, as it was with the 7 lies, he never did get the $10,000. He said this man was raised up to popularity and fame by one means. And that is, he got the sympathy of the people in that he had sold some unregistered stock. The government closed in on it, took a man from the government, all the authorities, put him over his operation, and he had to operate through this man until he could restore the stock back to those that he had taken it from. Receiving the sympathy of the people in that he said that the government was persecuting him, the missionary that I talked to told me, said he raised his income up to $1 million a week. And the money or the income was so tremendously great that the man that the government had put there over him left the government and become one of his employees as to help him watch after his funds. But a lot of times things are not just like they appear to be, folks. But at Bethlehem, let it be true as to what we say and what we do. Let's be truthful. Let's be truthful with the pastor. Let the pastor be truthful with you. Let us be truthful with our fellow man that's without, our loved ones. Let's be truthful. We're born of the truth. Jesus said, I've come to witness of the truth, to defend the truth. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the truth of gospel. Let's be truthful. Let's be godly. Let's be holy. Let's be pure. Let's be righteous. Staying out there in that hot camper, still trying to work. Worked here on the campground, a credit to many of us. And those that have come with excuses. And I hope before you lay down tonight that some of you will take it on yourself and don't think that everybody else is going to do it. Make inquiry one with another to see who's willing. And get some cooling out there for them. I told them today I'd try to do it. I mentioned it the other day, and I didn't get anybody to do it. Try to get them boys a little air, something out there. If we have to move the trailer from where it's at, to get it over to a place close by to where we can plug in a line at least for a day or two, to them boys can get going on something or find them a place that's cool. People that are willing to do anything and be in such severe circumstances certainly deserve consideration and help. They hope me for a day or two and God turn right around and give them a job and help them. And I understand they've made quite a bit of money. But folks, let it not be said of you, as it was said of a man today. I got a call. I was already late for church, and this man called from Atlanta, Georgia. And this man says, Brother Pike, I don't know anybody else to turn to, so I'm turning to you. I want to ask you to do me a favor. I said, sir, if I can, I will. He said, one of your church members took a job from me. Said I paid him a lot of money. Said I trusted him. I gave him the money in advance to a great degree. As a matter of fact, Brother Pike, this probably not more than 2 weeks' work had been done on the project. He said, but I gave him $8,400. Whereas some people make a lot of money and they don't give but very little. Sometimes not any. I'm just saying this. A lot of you don't know how much money different ones make. I could care less about it. But the Lord has people to call me. So that the very people that are holding back, that I might know that they are making a tremendous amount of money, though they won't share. That's why all of their substance is devoured. God don't rebuke the devourer. They make much, bring it home. God blows upon it, it comes a little. So then, brethren, don't let it be said of you as it was said of him. Said, Brother Pike, I trusted him. But I've tried through a number of people to contact him. He's done me wrong. He took my money. He's not done my job. And said, I have people coming that are supposed to stay in those places. And he said, Brother Pike, he said to me, this is wrong. He said, this is wrong. As just a man. And certainly wrong is one that professes what he professes in the way of Christianity. And I told him, I said, sir, I cannot be responsible for people's social life. I cannot be responsible for what they do, their business transactions or whatever. I said, but I wholeheartedly endorse what you said as to this being wrong. And I said, and I'll see the man just as quick as I possibly can, perhaps tonight. Whereas he's not here tonight, or I don't see him, or try to see him tomorrow. But see how this reproaches me. See how this reproaches my brethren. I could tell the way the man talked that he had thoughts toward our brethren. Of a good report of them that were without, the Bible said, lest falling into reproach. See, and that was that discredited my brethren. And I let him know in no few words that this thing was right. My brethren were not like that. I explained not in an offensive way, but as to let him know that we were not responsible in that we are a church in operation for Christ. But people will pay for those things. They're going to pay for those things for reproaching. The man says, Brother Pike said, this man spoke highly of you. That's fine to some degree. If I'm in the will of God, the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. If not, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God, which of course means football players and they that are esteemed in the natural. Whereas in the world, in the church, the Bible said, esteem them very highly for the work's sake. I said, well, I appreciate that. I told him in so many words, I appreciate that. And I told him, I said, the man's a fine man, and he really is. But here's where the hurt comes in, brethren. The impression was left that he'd been down here working for me on the boats, or whether it be the planes or whatever. During all this time. And he said, what made it so bad, Brother Pike? Said, the man came by, picked up $500, went over to cash it, and run into my wife there while he was cashing it. And we thought he was getting material with it. See, I'm just saying this one thing. That reproaches me. That reproaches the brotherhood because the man didn't keep his word. Though he spoke well of me and caused the man to have confidence to the extent, he said, Brother Pike, I'm not blaming you with it. He said, I hated to even bother you with it. But how do you think that a man feels if he has children and somebody comes up to him and he says, you know, your son's a rascal. And your daughter's a devil. How would you feel? See, how would you feel? You'd say, that's my son, that's my daughter. They're not like that at all. But see, what can you say if they'd done those things and acted that way? So I love the man. I love you. I love the others. But folks, let me exhort you. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. That's wrong. When you give your word, be like Jesus. Do your best to keep it. All right, while you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Roger to come dismiss us tonight. These that are at the altar, they're seeking the favor of God, even the little one. And you're seeking the favor of God. And as Roger prays tonight, let the Lord bless you. Be thankful, folks. The songwriter said, and I remind you, to be thankful for what you got. For to some folks, these things would mean a lot. You've got your school. You've got your protection. You've got your loved ones. I know it's hot in here tonight. It's hot outside. It's hot everywhere. But it's going to get so hot, I remind you, that it'll scorch your flesh. And men will blaspheme the name of God. So pray. Don't count this a cross. This is pleasant as to what it's going to be. Some of you have never been in the islands to do without fans. To have to stay in places. Betty and I have stayed in places where it's so hot and so miserable that I've laid on the bed at night or out where we were at. Sometimes on the top of hay, laying out on a wagon outside. And I prayed, oh God, just send a little breeze. Lord, I beg of you, for me and my wife and children, send us just a little breeze, the way we can breathe, Father. Mosquitoes at night, bugs, dangers. I was out down in the part of Mexico, just outside, over in the bushes, just a little ways, around the mesquite trees. And I had a spider so big until today, I'm afraid I'll exaggerate when I go to tell people about it. That thing was a tarantula, and he looked like he was big as a small watermelon. Now, I know that must be an exaggeration, but he was so big. He was a great big old thing. And I'll tell you what, he was so big that he went one way and I went another way. You might not have ever done that to a spider, but I did. I seen him and I thought, my Lord. And off I went, and you know, I thought, this is your territory and I'm certainly going to leave it to you. But anyway, you know, when you're in those places, things happen, folks. I love you now. I'm going to close. I'm not going to keep you any longer. But I want you to make up your mind now. Everything straight forward, straight ahead, full speed ahead. Time to do something. Don't say you can't. Don't say Brother Pike ain't got a program. Don't say Brother Pike said and didn't do. I've been saying for years and doing by the help of God right down the line. But these things I told you was going to take time and preparation. I told you, I said your negligence is holding me back and you back from good things because of iniquity. So get in now. It's up to you. Everything's open. If you don't do it, young folks, if you don't do it, elderly people, if you don't do it, middle-aged people, don't you say one thing about Brother Pike, because you're to blame. You've got a chance to pray. You've got a chance to believe. If you don't receive your healing, if you don't receive your blessing, if you don't receive the things that God wants you to do, remember the Bible said thine iniquities have held thee back from good things. Make your confession. Put your heart on the altar. Get down to business. Put your loved ones on the altar like Abraham did. And mean business. Get down to business with us. And I guarantee you, we'll have a good time in the Lord. And like David Paul told me today, his wife's been interested in the things of the world. She left, backslid on the Lord. David did too. David's renewed his covenant with the Lord. He said, you know, Dad said, my wife told me. A lot of times you think folks are interested in the things of the world. You just don't know. Said, my wife told me, said, Dave said, when you go overseas from now on, said, I'm wanting to go. Said, I plan to go. Said, I'd like to get over there in the missionary fields and help teach them people. Said, I'd love to help teach them about Jesus and do something for them. See people. See these little ones coming down here. Precious, darling little fellows. They know what they're doing. Somebody said, oh, they don't know what they're doing. When they go to the table, they know what they're doing, don't they? Sure they do. When they splatter in the water and they play games and when they come down here, they know what they're doing. They don't understand it all, but they know what they're doing. They said, don't mess with them children. Jesus took them in his lap. He said, don't forbid these little fellas. Let them come unto me. So then, let me close. God bless you. God help you. As our brother comes, Brother Roger.